Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, Supreme Court watchers are still buzzing over reports that Chief Justice John Roberts might have switched his thinking on health care reform, siding first with conservatives on the bench, then swinging over to the liberal bloc. If true, the leak would be as interesting as the switch. The Supreme Court is pretty watertight, as opposed to Congress and the White House, which can be like sieves. And now there are conflicting narratives about just how leaky the Obama administration is. The editor of the New York Times recently scoffed at reports of leaking. She said, "The environment has never been tougher. Information has never been harder to dislodge in Washington." And she accused the White House of stifling reporting by aggressively prosecuting leaks. But Republicans are accusing the White House of leaking information on everything from drone strikes to cyber warfare against Iran in order to burnish the president's reputation, make him look tough in an election year. So what is true about leaks, and where are we on prosecutions? Cora Currier writes about national security for ProPublica and joins us from NPR New York with a primer. Cora, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And first, let's talk about two of the most current investigations. Attorney General Eric Holder has assigned two U.S. attorneys to lead separate criminal investigations into recent leaks. He didn't specify which. Do we know which ones they are? What have you found out?
Well, of course, thanks to unnamed U.S. officials, we have some idea of what these two leaks are into. The first investigation is reportedly looking into revelations that came out of a New York Times article about the U.S. using a computer virus, Stuxnet, to launch cyber attacks against Iran. The second leak investigation reportedly involves the CIA's foiling of an attempted bomb plot in Yemen by an al-Qaeda operative. It was supposed to be an update to the underwear bomb, and that was reported in the AP first, and subsequent news stories also outed the role of a Yemeni double agent in foiling the plot. So those are apparently the two that are being investigated.
Now, the White House and President Obama says this information unequivocally did not come from the White House. What have you found?
Well, if you look at the Times story, just one example of this Times story on Stuxnet cites several people who were participants in the program. It cites senior aides to Obama. So you want to be able to trust the news that you're reading, and if you do, that, you know, goes contrary to Obama's statement.
Which is why he's ordered the investigations to find out just who it is. So those are two investigations. Why is the Justice Department not investigating that, you know, somewhat explosive piece about drone use and President Obama's role in deciding when drones are used?
Well, that's reportedly not a case that they're looking into, and one of the reasons that's speculated on that is because it would be very difficult to pinpoint a source in that case. And even if they could, the fact that CIA drone strikes have been reported on for many, many years, the Justice Department themselves have said that in some cases, the widespread dissemination of information means that they decide, that's one reason they decide not to bring prosecution.
What are the laws applying to disclosing classified information? Charlie Savage writes in the New York Times that there's no law against disclosing classified information in and of itself. So what are the laws that apply?
Right. So there's no single law that says, you know, just because if it's stamped classified, disclosing it is a crime. What there are a series of statutes mostly regarding information that has to do with national defense, both classified and unclassified. And the unauthorized disclosure of national defense information can often be prosecuted. One of the most severe, the sort of most broad-ranging and severe in its penalties, is the Espionage Act, which is a sort of World War I era act that does what it sounds like. It sort of governs, you know, aiding the enemy, providing secrets to the enemy. But it has been used to prosecute leaks of national security information. There are a few other laws. There's a law regarding criminalizing the releasing of the name of an intelligence agent. There are a few other statutes having to do with computer hacking and other ways in which the government can prosecute leaking. But there's no single law that says, leaking classified information is a crime.
And the leak itself isn't the crime when it is prosecuted. It's what? It has to have endangered either national security or helped another country?
Well, they have to show that it could. It doesn't. Yeah. They don't have to prove. The government doesn't have to prove that a particular leak actually hurt. But they have to show that the leaker, first of all, that they did it intentionally, that they didn't just, you know, drop a paper on the ground. And also that they had the reason to believe that it would harm the U.S. or help a foreign nation to the detriment of the U.S. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to prove it did do so, that particular leak.
Which is interesting, because there's no aspect, at least in that, 1917 Espionage Act, that says, you can't leak information to burnish your reputation. You know, that would not be a crime under that law.
Right, yeah, right. But that wouldn't be probably what was prosecuted. Right. It would be, did the release of this information, could it have harmed the U.S.?
Right, and we know there have been attempts to pass stronger laws recently, but they've failed?
Right, the one that got farthest was in 2000. There was a provision that Clinton vetoed that would have made a sort of unilateral state criminal penalties for disclosing classified information. Clinton vetoed it because he said it would have had a chilling effect on the free exchange of information between the government and citizens.
And members of the press, including the New York Times editor Jill Abramson that I mentioned, they agree. But who does the prosecuting? When there is an investigation or a prosecution, who does it? Is it always the Justice Department?
Well, the first thing that happens is that an agency, usually an intelligence agency, will report a leak to the Justice Department and recommend that they launch a criminal investigation. The Justice Department can also, if there's a particular leak that they hear about and they want to investigate, they can do so without a report. But usually there's a crime report sent from the agency that suspects the leak or knows about the leak to the Justice Department. The Justice Department then launches a criminal investigation. They could try to bring charges under the Espionage Act or any of those other statutes. If they determine that either there is no criminal case to be made or that to do so, they often don't prosecute because they believe that doing so would release more classified information or would confirm the classified information in question. So those are a couple reasons they might not prosecute. They will then refer it back to the agency that referred it, and that agency can take internal sanctions. They can strip someone of their security clearance or write them a letter of reprimand, depending what they determine.
So you mentioned that sometimes these investigations don't go forward because it's a catch-22. Prosecutors would have to reveal more classified information in order to make their case. And we understand that defendants sometimes choose something called a gray mail defense. Not exactly blackmail, but gray mail. They make classified information a centerpiece of their case, sort of forcing prosecutors into revealing more information.
Right, and that could be one of those instances in which they decide that this is actually better handled by administrative sanctions and that it goes back to the agency that reported it.
Okay, and we know that there are other scenarios outside of the Justice Department in which a special prosecutor can be called, and we're going to get to that with Cora Currier, who covers national security issues for ProPublica. We'll also get to that question we posed, how leaky is the Obama administration, especially compared to others? That and more in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back. We're talking about leaks in Washington. The Justice Department is prosecuting two recent national security leaks, reportedly involving cyber warfare, another one, an underwear bomb plot out of Yemen. And there have been other leaks, for instance, one about the president's role in authorizing drone strikes in Pakistan. And those leaks have become political in this election year. Who's leaking what for whose benefit? Is it harmful to national security, or does it make for a more informed citizenry? There are new rules on prosecutions called for by Republicans. One would allow a new inspector general for the whole intelligence community to investigate a leak. We're going to hear about that. But meanwhile, who else besides an attorney general can launch an investigation? That's where we left off with Cora Currier of ProPublica. So, Cora, an attorney general or Congress can appoint a special prosecutor outside of the Justice Department to step in to pursue a leak. When does that happen?
Well, that's something that Republican senators have called for. They're asking for a special prosecutor instead of the Justice Department because they believe that the Justice Department is too close to the White House to adequately investigate these leaks.
Well, we're hearing an awful lot the phrase that President Obama is overseeing more investigations than any other president, you know, combined. Is that true?
Definitely more prosecutions under the Espionage Act. The Espionage Act has been used very rarely. There were only three cases resulting in indictments up until the Obama administration. One was under Bush. And under the Obama administration, there have been 6. So that's definitely a ratcheting up. Some of those cases were left over from the Bush administration. They were begun under Bush. The Justice Department has also pointed out that the increasing use of email and, you know, other communications technologies have actually made it easier to track leaks because it's, you know, some sort of electronic trail on it.
Right. Just to remind people, some of the investigations we know about Bradley Manning, who was partly charged under the Espionage Act. He's, of course, the fellow who launched the whole WikiLeaks story. Former CIA agent John Kiriakou, who was the whistleblower on waterboarding during the Bush administration. So there are a couple of ongoing. We understand many of the investigations and the prosecutions in the Obama administration have collapsed. But we've got this dueling narrative. You've got Republican lawmakers saying the Obama administration is the leakiest ever, everything from the stories about drone strikes to the new underwear bomber. You've got Jill Abramson of the New York Times saying, in fact, this is the most locked up administration, and she's asking him to stop doing prosecutions. She says it's stifling reporting and information. Which is true? Is this a leakier administration than past administrations?
It's something that's incredibly hard to say. I mean, we did a project recently where we looked at reporting on the CIA drone strikes, which, of course, the government does not officially acknowledge. And going back, you know, before Obama into when the drone strikes first began under Bush, there's been, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of unnamed officials commenting on these strikes, but, you know, no official comment. So it's hard to say that one White House is leakier than another. The question of prosecutions of leak cases also gets back to this sort of depends which way you slice it scenario, because on the one hand, the fact that the government has a relatively high burden of proof to show that the leak of classified information was damaging to national security or could have been means, you know, that it sort of protects the free flow of information between the government and the citizenry. On the other hand, the fact that these leak prosecutions are so rare leaves them open to the charge that they're sort of selective, that they're used to target whistleblowers or to silence particular stories that they don't want out. So it cuts both ways.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, there are people on the left calling for more leaks. They want the citizenry to know about the use of drone strikes. And also, meanwhile, there's a call to have new rules established to curb leaks. This is a call from James Clapper. He's the director of National Intelligence. What are some of those new rules? What would they do?
Well, the director of National Intelligence has for some time been working on new leak rules that would govern the 17 agencies that cover classified information. And these new rules in particular add a question to the polygraph test that's, you know, sort of routinely administered to intelligence employees, asking them if they've leaked information. The other thing it would do is ask the intelligence community's inspector general to lead further investigations in cases where the Justice Department decides not to bring criminal charges. So what that means is that in the case that the Justice Department decides it can't bring a case, it would go back to the agency that reported it, and the inspector general could then start a further investigation. Wouldn't be a criminal investigation, but it would have powers across all of the agencies. So the inspector general could lead a sort of multi-agency investigation.
So this is an attempt to curb leaks. But where do you think we go from here? What do you think is going to happen going forward? Do you think there will be a successful attempt to pass new legislation?
It's really hard to say. I mean, it's been routinely proposed and then eventually is dropped. Both senators and congressmen have said that they're going to try to work on some new legislation relating to leaks, but it's still kind of vague what specifically that would look like.
A couple last thoughts, just because I can hear people saying, what about the Valerie Plame case? This was the leak of the CIA secret agent Valerie Plame's name. New York Times reporter Judith Miller was subpoenaed by a special counsel, Patrick Fitzgerald, and went to jail rather than give information. This was a special counsel brought in to a prosecution. Vice presidential aide Scooter Libby was convicted of perjury. But what about the current cases, the investigation of the leaks about the cyber warfare in Iran or about the double agent in Yemen? Will reporters be called in those investigations?
So these investigations are still obviously in their very early stages. So I think it's probably too soon to say whether reporters will be asked to testify. And the Justice Department themselves say that they're very cautious in requesting that members of the press reveal their sources because they recognize that they're going to have a hard time, balancing that with First Amendment protection.
That's Cora Currier. She's a reporter for ProPublica. We're talking leaks. Cora, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And tomorrow on Here and Now, are you reading the New York Times series about a possible new approach to fighting cancer, sequencing the genes of every patient to create a cocktail like the HIV cocktail for each one? Is this a game changer? We're going to hear more tomorrow. Also, baseball at the All-Star break, the Pirates, the big surprise, our Red Sox. Oy. Still ahead today, what you may not know about your kid's Nintendo. But the latest news is next, Here and Now.